for us and what it is. Essentially, it's about responsibility and it's about influence. Tom and Hannah have looked at God's pattern of leadership being this shepherding leader, which I don't think is a weak thing at all. I think it's a very strong thing. And that is how God leads us, and that is how we are to lead others as well. I don't subscribe to this school of thought that the pastoral gifting is a weak or namby-pamby gifting. I think it's one for the courageous, and it's a very strong and powerful gifting. I want to just say that we've touched on this already. Leadership is humble. Christian leadership is humble. And so leadership needs a team. You look at the Old Testament, talked about the shepherd, and the New Testament says be shepherds of the flock. Leadership needs a team in the church, in the town. And so given that it needs to be humble and part of a team, I just want to urge you to get behind Sarah and Stuart in their leadership, that actually you can lead by just getting behind them, not challenging them or trying to push them aside, kind of behind them, more an encouraging, helping them kind of leadership. Buy them gifts and presents, cook them meals, say kind words to them, because you can increase the leadership in this church simply by encouraging the leaders. We're talking about doing much more than that, but if you get behind Sarah and Stuart, that's a good thing to do. Hebrews 13 verse 17, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they must keep watch over you as those who must give account. Do this so that their work will be a joy and not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. So you can play your part in leadership by getting behind Sarah and Stu, as I know many of you do already. But if you make their work a joy in leading you as a church, then that will be to your benefit as well. That's what the scripture is saying. And leadership, therefore, is a responsibility that we all take. But I want to home in now on the role of the Holy Spirit in leadership. And whilst leadership is a responsibility we all take, leadership is also a gift of the Holy Spirit. Romans 12 and verse 6, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So leadership is a gift alongside prophesying, a gift of faith, serving and teaching and so on. It is a gift that God gives by his Holy Spirit. You might think of Gideon as a prime example of somebody who was not a leader. The Holy Spirit came on him and he became a leader. So he was hiding in the the wine press, wasn't he? The wine press, is that where he was hiding? He was threshing in a wine press. It's wrong place to do that. But he was hiding from the Philistines. And it says, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, summoning the Abizarites to follow him. The Holy Spirit came on him, and it's not so much about the musical, but he had the courage to call others to his leadership. So when the Holy Spirit comes on us, he causes us to grow in leadership. So if we want to pursue an increasing leadership in any of the contexts that we've talked about, we need to be pursuing the Holy Spirit to grow in that. Because leadership, as we've seen, is not essentially about title or position or label. It's about giving of ourselves and influencing others. So if it's gifting needs testing. If you have the gift of healing, a good thing to do is to begin to pray for people to see whether you actually indeed have that gifting. If it is leading, then you need to test that gift. Who will follow you? Try taking responsibility for one or two other people in the church or outside the church. That might be as simple as some encouragement or taking some time for them, praying for them in your regular devotions or whatever else. Try taking some responsibility and see how God will use that. And as Ben's already said, when we're faithful in the small, God gives more. The other thing I think is gifting needs affirming, that encouragement and actually affirmation on a gift. And so it's good to talk to your leaders, to Sarah and Stuart and others, about, you know, what do you see me as a leader? Where can I exercise leadership? And they can affirm you in that and get behind you in it. They know you better than us as a visiting team certainly do. And they can get behind you in growing into leadership and help you to develop in leadership in whatever sphere it is. But essentially, to grow in leadership requires dependence on God, seeking Him and asking Him to help you grow in that. So Lord, I pray that you would gift this group of people here today and others in the church with a growing gifting and ability to lead in the church and for this church to lead in this town and this area, we pray. Holy Spirit, fall right now and increase that gifting of leadership in this room and beyond. Come, Holy Spirit. All we've talked about, we now look to you. Amen. I'm really excited, actually, by who's here today and knowing some of you a little bit and seeing, you know, the potential and hearing some of the things coming out of what you've been saying and sharing. I'm really excited. I think that's really positive for the future. That's not the sum total of our praying for each other. We're going to pray in a minute, but I thought let's not just talk about it. Let's pray now. So, what are the ingredients of biblical leadership? In his book, Courageous Leadership, if you've not read it, really, really good book by Bill Hybels about leadership, strangely. He identifies the four C's of leadership, essential ingredients for leadership. First one is courage. Is important for leadership. So we see that in Gideon, that it's not just a bravado, a who dares to do the craziest thing kind of courage, but actually a faith-filled courage that comes from the work of the Holy Spirit. Competence. God will gift different ones of us differently. Some will be good at this, some will be good at that. He'll place other gifts alongside that ability to lead. That will become the way that we lead. So you can have leaders who lead by encouragement, leaders who lead by prophetic things, leaders who lead by teaching, leaders who lead by caring. We all have different gifts, and we all operate in this shape of a shepherd, but God will give different giftings, like different weapons, as it were, for us to fight with. Chemistry. Biblical leadership is team-based. In the Bible, there are 79 references to leader, but 120 references to leaders. The word elder is used 6 times, but elders is used 188 times. It is a corporate, a team thing. We are the body of Christ. We are to do this together. Okay, so as much as there's times like now when there's one of me talking to a number of you, actually it's about team, camaraderie, togetherness, loyalty and friendship. But finally, and I think probably most importantly, is character. We've already seen that precedent in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1, follow my example as I follow Christ, which is lovely, isn't it? And scares the life out of me at the same time. How confident do you feel to say to people around you, look, you want to know what Jesus is like? Just look at me. Yeah, do it like I do it and you'll be doing it like Jesus. Okay, that is our model of leading by example. But it's a little scary as well. But character, who you are, is more important than what you do. It's the plumb line by which everything else is measured and determines our effectiveness as leaders. So character is crucially important in leadership. So let's have a look a little bit about character, the importance of character. 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7, "But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him." This is talking about Saul. "The Lord does not look at the things of man, the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." And there's many times in the Bible that we see the importance of character over outward appearance. Character or heart, the same thing. Now, you know, in the Bible, when Samuel comes to anoint a son of Jesse to be king, he looks at all those who are there before him, and he doesn't find the one that he's looking for, and asks for, you know, "Have you got any more sons? None of these are actually the one that God's appointed." He saw something that wasn't just about the outward appearance, but he saw something on the inside, something of God. So he follows the prompting of God and is led to David, who had not even been considered by his father. And maybe some of us here could identify with David, in that maybe those around us, maybe parents or whatever, may have told us that we'll never come to much, we'll never come to anything. Even David's own father had not considered him as a leader, let alone the king. But God knew the heart. God knew his plans. And God often uses the weakness in the world's eyes to confound the world. The Bible tells us, doesn't it, that we're to, in the kingdom of God, the weak will lead the strong. So if that's you, if you feel that you carry that, that people have said to you, you'll never come to anything, I just want you to know now in the Spirit that no, that is not the word of God over your life. The word of God over your life is that you've been adopted by a loving Father God. You now belong in his family. And he says over you, you're his child. I'm going to pour out the riches of my gifting and anointing on you. And you will go into this world and you can fulfill that original mandate that we saw in Genesis, to take responsibility and authority in the world. You see, God is more than capable of using people in weakness, but he does look for those whose heart is surrendered to him. So the state of our hearts is the utmost importance, more important than our accomplishments or our competence. I'm more aware than anyone else of my own inadequacies. Okay, I know better than anyone else in my church what things are wrong with me. I think it was Abraham Lincoln said that of all the people he's ever led, the person he's had the most trouble with was Abraham Lincoln. Because he was aware of what weaknesses he had. And I think to lead well does need us to lead ourselves first. And so if you take one thing out of today, it would be, you know, to be able to lead ourselves well and help to work with the Holy Spirit developing our character. But the heart, the character of us is of utmost importance. So it says Matthew 12 verse 34, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so if what is in here is good and godly, what comes out here will be good and godly too. The character of your heart is central to who you are. That's who you really are as a person. Your thoughts, your motives, your attitudes, emotions, opinions and behaviors in both good and difficult times. Now let me ask you a question. What kind of a leader do you want to follow? Yep. That's good. So do you want to follow someone like that who has the heart of a father? Or do you want to follow someone who is rude, unkind and proud? Do you want to follow somebody who follows through on what they say? Or do you want to follow someone who says one thing and does another? You know, we want to follow people who are living this stuff well, who are being shaped to be more like Jesus. We want to follow people who we can trust to deliver what they're saying. We want to follow someone who, when they say something on a Sunday, if we bump into them on a Wednesday afternoon, they would still be consistent with what they've said publicly there, wouldn't we? So the importance then for us is to make sure that as we grow as leaders, we too are being consistent in the same way. See, character is fundamental to godly leadership. So how do we form godly character? Well, do you want to know that? How do we form? How do you go away from here and form godly character? You're convinced that it's important? Well, the first thing to say is we don't start the Christian life with good character. Okay, we do not. We do not bring a reliable character to the Christian life. We don't bring a reliable conscience or reliable character to the Christian life. Galatians 5:24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So when we come to Christ, that's telling us that if you belong to Christ, then you've had to get rid of some stuff that you had before, that flesh or that sinful nature, that part of us that was hostile to God and to spiritual things, that has to be got rid of, and we cannot do that by human effort. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, the old has gone and the new has come. So when we come to Christ, this part of us that is self-seeking and self-centered is put to death, and a new part, which is God-centered and God-seeking, comes alive. We have been changed by him, and we are being changed by him. And so let's not imagine that anything from our old life that we bring in is good, but we have to be renewed in our thinking and bring ourselves into line with this change that has gone on. And so what does it say? Romans 6 verse 11, you must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive with God in Christ. This word to consider is to reckon. And so what we've got to do is we've got to get hold of the change that's gone on in us and make sure that what we're listening is to the new us and not this faint echo of the old us which has been put to death in Christ. Romans 12 verse 2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. So if we want to get hold of good godly character, that needs a cooperation between our will. See, it says to us, do not conform. So we need to cooperate our will with God's working, the renewing of our mind. It's not all about God, I'm on autopilot, he'll make me lovely. It's not certainly all about us that I can change the way I am and think. But this verse tells us that there's a cooperation between our will and the work of the Holy Spirit to bring into effect that new creation that we are. And that is how we form godly character, by cooperating our will with the work of the Holy Spirit. Is that okay? So it's us and it's the Holy Spirit. But let's look now at what it is the Holy Spirit does in us to shape this character and therefore enable us to lead like Jesus led. So let's look at maybe some well-known verses, Galatians 5:16-25. If anybody reads to you from Galatians 16, don't listen to them. It doesn't exist. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you do not do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions and envy, drunkenness and orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So Paul's first instruction there is to live by the Spirit. So that is the root, he's saying, to freedom from fleshly desires, to live by the Spirit. Overcoming in the conflict of our desires and passions by what Jesus has won. We're to live by the Spirit, to be open to the Spirit, to be inviting the Spirit into our lives and to being obedient to the Spirit. You know, the Spirit sometimes really whispers and we need to be obedient to that. One of the fruits of the Spirit there is the fruit of self-control. Have you ever experienced the fruit of self-control? I have, and I found that it's not a loud voice. I found that the fruit of self-control, when the Spirit is bringing me to self-control, it's a very gentle whisper. And it's a gentle whisper that if I choose to ignore it, it can become harder and harder to hear. But actually, the Spirit does lead us to be self-controlled, but it's often a gentle whisper. And so we need to be still in ourselves. We need to still our selfish ambition, our selfish desire, in order that we can receive that Spirit of self-control. So we're to live by the Spirit. And the wonderful thing is that Paul then talks about the fruit of the Spirit. We have a pear tree in our back garden, and it's not a big tree, but it bears lots of fruit every year. And in the spring, when it's got blossom on it, the kids kick footballs at it. Not deliberately, but it knocks some of the blossom off and some of the branches and some of the shoots. And it was a nice, we used to have a great big apple tree, but we had to get rid of that. And that was great for climbing. The kids climb in the pear tree now, which is a bit small and spindly, and every so often they snap bits off, and then I have to kind of saw it straight so that it's not sticking out at a nasty angle with a sharp bit. And you know what? That tree just keeps bearing fruit. I don't think that tree, it doesn't seem to sit there and think, shall I have some fruit this year? I'm not sure. I'll work really hard and bear fruit. No, it bears fruit. It's just what it does. It just bears fruit. And I think the fact that we have this fruit of the Spirit means it's not the reward of the Spirit. It's not the trophy of the Spirit. It's not, the stolen stuff of the Spirit. No, it's the fruit of the Spirit. It grows because we're living things watered and fed by the Spirit. When my sister became a Christian before me, she's 4 years older than me, she became a Christian before me, and she started to... One of the things that really drew me after Jesus was seeing the change in her. So we used to argue a bit, and she became a Christian, and then we kept arguing, but... like 10 minutes later, she'd come back and apologize. And this became a pattern. And so I really noticed, actually, there's a love and a kindness and a goodness in my sister that wasn't there before she started following Jesus. That's because the fruit of the Spirit was growing in her. I don't know that she necessarily noticed that at the time, but I certainly did. And the Holy Spirit will cause good character to grow in us as we walk with Him. And Paul also says there, the final words of verse 25, keep in step with the Spirit. So we listen to the Spirit, we encourage the Spirit, we welcome the Spirit, but also we keep in step with the Spirit. I remember well when Linda and I first started going out, we'd go for walks together. And just stand up a minute, Tom. She's a bit smaller than Tom, actually. And so we learned to walk sort of my arm round here. But our legs are slightly different lengths. And what we found was we would get out of step and we'd be all sort of bumping up and down and stuff like this. Thank you, Tom. And it'd be really uncomfortable. We'd try and be together and walking like that. But because we weren't in step, it wasn't a very comfortable thing. But as we got to know each other, maybe Linda lengthened her step a little and I shortened mine, but we got, maybe she grew. It's possible. Whatever happened, we learned through experience to keep in step with each other. And then it was much more pleasant experience walking together. It was much easier and we would go further and so on. And so keeping in step with the Spirit is like that, getting used to changing the way that we walk in our lives to be in accordance with the Spirit, those promptings, allowing those promptings to change the way that we walk, and having regular contact with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, we know that, you know, you sometimes you get beaten up at church, don't you? The three things you need to do more of this week is pray more, read the Bible more, and worship more. The Holy Trinity of beating up Christians about their devotional lives. But the truth is that as we do those things and as we welcome the Holy Spirit into our lives, we can keep our lives in step with the Spirit. And none of that jolting, but going somewhere. So if our life of leadership is one of keeping in step with the Holy Spirit, then that's what we're leading others into as well. Okay, if our lives ourselves are a life of slavery to having to tick the boxes of doing certain things in our Christian lives, that's what we'll lead others to. But if our lives are about exploring and enjoying the freedom of keeping in step with the Holy Spirit, that indeed is what we'll be leading others to. So we're not just to lead others to rules and laws, but to keeping in step with the Spirit of Jesus. So what does it look like for the Holy Spirit to lead us? Now, the Bible tells us several things about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us power. Acts 1:8, you'll receive power when my Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The Holy Spirit gives us power. You will receive power. To be effective leaders, we need the power from God. The Holy Spirit gives us gifts. We probably know 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12 list out these gifts. We looked at one of those passages already. We need gifting to lead, whether it be things that we count as more spiritual, like praying in tongues and interpretation, or things that are more practical, contributing to the needs of others and showing mercy. And by the way, I caricature that, the Bible doesn't. The Bible doesn't say that there's these practical gifts of the Spirit and there's these spiritual gifts of the Spirit. The Bible just shows us that the Spirit enables us to lead and act in different ways, one according to the Spirit and another according to the same Spirit. So the Holy Spirit gives us gifts. So if we want to grow in gifting to lead, then we need to keep in step with the Spirit. He also produces good character in us, which we've just seen there in Galatians. Just as a side note, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. 9 attributes, we see all of them in their fullness in Jesus. Holy Spirit, Spirit of Jesus, causes what to grow in us, but the character of Jesus. So the Holy Spirit does these things in us. The Holy Spirit also leads us. We read the book of Acts, and time again, there's occasions there of the Spirit leading. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So the Holy Spirit speaks to us, calls us, and appoints us. Later on, we see in Acts the Holy Spirit directing them. The Holy Spirit directs us. If we want to lead, we don't just do that out of our own ability, but the Holy Spirit prompts us to go to certain people, to say certain things, to pray for certain things, to do certain things. There's a time as a church where we were struggling for somewhere to meet on a Sunday. And I remember very vividly sat at my desk and God saying to me, "Look to the south." So I got the map out, I looked at the south of Loughborough, saw a school that I didn't even know existed, and phoned them up. And that very afternoon, I was in that school, looking around their school hall, and we started meeting there then for a couple of years, and it served us really well. The Holy Spirit very clearly in that case directed me in my leading there to something really good. So the Holy Spirit directs us. John 14:26, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said." So the Holy Spirit is the one that will teach us all things. So when we go away from here, we may not be fully qualified and fully informed about how to be leaders, but that's okay because the Holy Spirit will teach us all things and will remind us of everything that Jesus has said. That's great, isn't it? And the Holy Spirit sometimes brings scriptures to mind for ourselves or for others. In fact, he brings Jesus to us because he is the Spirit of Jesus. So if we want to be effective in leadership, we need the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit develops our character, which is crucial to Christian leadership. But also he prompts us, directs us, and empowers us. It is a gift and a privilege to be able to lead people. I think leading people as a Christian, leading other Christians, leading people to Jesus is sometimes the hardest thing that we ever do. But I think also it's the most rewarding. Whether it's caring for Christians, bringing people to salvation, or taking a lead for the kingdom of God in our lives, in our world. Leadership is a gift of God which needs to be constantly empowered by his Holy Spirit. Let's stand and let's pray. So if it helps you, just stretch out your hands in front of you. I find that helps me, puts me in a place of receiving. Okay, if you don't like being told what to do, then it's just up to you. But it puts me in a place of humility and of receiving from God. Now, Lord, thank you for all that we've looked at today. And I pray that those truths we've looked at will sink deep into us. But in that and through that, we need you. Living God, we need you by your Holy Spirit to empower us, to grow us, that we can go out into this bit of the world that we live in and see your light coming into darkness. Lives being changed and shaped into the freedom that can only be found in Jesus Christ. That Bryn Mawr and the valleys could be changed by you, your Holy Spirit working through us. We need you. We're unashamedly dependent upon your Holy Spirit to take a lead in this world for you, Lord. So come, Holy Spirit. Seal all that we've done and come in power now. Holy Spirit. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh. Come, Holy Spirit. We're just going to wait on God. Let him do his thing. Maybe God will speak to some of us. Just keep your ears attentive for yourself to God right now. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fall afresh. I pray that, Holy Spirit, you'd be coming and taking any limitations off us that we may have placed on ourselves or been placed on us by others. Remove limitations now. Holy Spirit, come and bring freedom. I want us to be able to pray more specifically for each other now, for some of you. And I'm keen that the guys from Loughborough get stuck in and involved here. I just want to say, though, that's not because we're experts, but or that we don't need this too. It's just that coming in from outside gives us an opportunity to do this, and can't wait for a team from Brimhill to come and come in afresh to bless us. So this is not that we're superheroes or anything like that. It's just we have an opportunity of maybe a bit of clarity when we don't know you so well, of speaking God's truth. And let's just pray for Stuart. A couple of you